So you will, is it not working? Oh, said it was on. Try again. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis, if you will, please. Genesis chapter 22. No? Yay? No? It went off, but I think it's a battery issue. Help me with that real quick there. Somebody come grab that. Thank you, Eric. Genesis chapter 22. We'll read here while they check on that. Oh, excuse me. Genesis chapter 22. Appreciate you being here tonight. God bless you. Let's begin reading verse number 1. This is a familiar story, a familiar account. Not just a story, it's the real thing. And we'll work on here. We'll see a kind of thought I want us to have before we share around the Lord's table here this evening. Verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham. God took Abraham through a lot of different things. And God knew what was going to happen when he called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He knew who was calling, what was going to happen, what was going to be going through, and how he was going to use these things to teach Abraham some things and teach him to trust him. And so after these things that have happened, God brings Abraham to a point, and he says, I'm going to try you, not to be mean, but to develop him, to use him, for our sake as well, for us to see this account. So it says there, after it came to pass, that after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. That's interesting right there. When God calls, is that what you say? Or is it, oh no, here we go again. He said, well, here I am. He'd been through a lot. Verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. About that time, Abraham's saying, why did I answer the phone call? Should have never picked it up. He said, Abraham said, here am I. And now he says, this is what I've got for you. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and then rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I'm not going to preach on this, but it's interesting. God doesn't put a word in there just by accident. The third day was when he was going to see God bring life to death. Have you ever had a family member that you knew it was only a matter of a couple days they're going to be gone? You start grieving already. He was going to have to sacrifice his son Isaac. In his heart, Isaac was already dead. 3 days. But on the third day, God provided life. Verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abram said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abram, and he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Let me read that verse again. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abram called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Look at that. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Let's pray. It's been a few moments here this evening, and I'm going to ask this question. What are you withholding from God? What are you withholding from God? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for that rock where the water flows out, and that those streams of living water. Thank you that it was finished on the cross. Thank you that everything's settled and tended to. Lord, I thank you for your love for us, your willingness to let your only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. Lord, I pray while we spend a few moments in your word that you'll help us see some things. Each of us need to see probably something different. Lord, give us each what we need here this evening. And bless these few moments in our time together around the table. In Christ's name, amen. Turn back to Genesis 13, if you will. I'm going to read just a few verses, a couple different places here. Genesis 13, 14, much earlier in Abraham's life. Genesis 13, verse 14. It says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that it, if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. God gave a promise. You're going to have some kids. From those kids, or at least one kid, from that one, many are going to come. Got a promise. God gave his word on it. Look at chapter 15, verse number 1. You see these things where he goes in and rescues Lot in chapter 14, and he basically defeats all that with this little crew of servants he has. Well, man, he's going to die. Well, he can't die. He's got to have a kid. He can't die yet. There's no kid. God promised he's going to have a kid. He's going to have a son, and his seed is going to be the father of great nations. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. So after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, well, okay, all right. Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? I still don't have a kid. You know that? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. He said, look, you said I'm going to have a kid. That word, behold, look real close here, God. You said that we're going to have some children, at least one, but I haven't seen that yet. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but in that thou shalt come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. By the way, don't help God out. God gave the promise, let him do it his way, and he's going to do it the right way. Don't try to finagle. Don't shortchange yourself. He says, I'm going to give you a son, you and Sarah. Well, okay, but if that doesn't work out, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll accept Eliezer here, my servant, as to be my son. Well, that's not as good as having your own kid. Don't shortchange God. Don't go out and try to do your own thing and help him out. Verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now, look toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. He says, listen, you're going to have as many kids as the dust of the earth, he said back in one in the next earlier chapter. Now he says, you're going to have as many as the stars as in the sky. Verse 6, watch. And Abraham's, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That's what God was looking for. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Abraham's part was to believe God. They came to Jesus, what shall we do that we may do the works of God? He says, believe on him who he has sent. Verse 7. And he said to him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer. And he goes on and he gives that vow and that and talks about all the covenant. They cut the pieces of the meat up together, the animals, and they go, and the Lord walks down through the middle of it. But he says, Abraham, you don't walk down through it. You don't have to do this. It says, I'm going to give it to you, and it has nothing to do with you. I've decided I'm going to give it to you, so you're going to get it. Look at chapter 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. He said, well, I've been doing that for a long time, God. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. He's telling him, make sure you know God's promises. Neither shall thy name any more be Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Now, Abram, that means father, I believe, and this means be father of many nations, multitude. He says, I'm going to change your name. That's kind of like saying, he's 99 years old, watch this, and he says, I want everybody to call me daddy because I'm still going to be a daddy. Can you imagine a 99-year-old man come and say, you know what, don't call me by my name anymore, just call me daddy because I'm going to have a big family yet. That's stepping out on faith. Everybody knew him. He was 99 years old. Sarah wasn't any spring chicken. He says, you go ahead and call me by that name. Verse 6. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations of an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Well, that sounds real nice, God, but we got to have a kid. Oh, you're going to have it. Look at verse 17:15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, and shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto me, unto him that is 100 years old? But I said, by the time, if we got pregnant now, I'll be 100 years old before we have a kid. And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abram said unto God, Abraham said, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." No, you haven't seen a kid yet. You're 99 years old, and she's 90, and here's the name of the kid. Well, we don't have a kid. You're going to have a kid, and here's his name. Look at chapter 18, verse 10. And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abram, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Now watch, it says, "At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Now I don't want to be, again, indiscreet here, I mean, or anything, but fact is, he's saying Sarah can't have a baby, and frankly, Abraham is not up to it anymore either. There's just no chance. Verse 15. Then Sarah denied, saying, laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." Let's move on. Look at 21, verse 1. Almost done. Chapter 21, verse 1. We've read everything. Seems crazy, but God has kept saying, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. Well, right there is a big statement. God does what he says he's going to do. Sarah thought, we'll have a baby by Hagar. We'll call him Ishmael. Well, that's not good enough. Abraham, why don't we just use my servant? He's a good guy. I'll just adopt him as my son. Now, that's not what we're looking for. When it looks impossible, God says, I'll do it. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Now, I read all this to set some stage. The promise doesn't change. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Nothing is impossible with God. If he gives you a promise, like follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, or listen, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The victory, this book of the law is not the part of them. He says, I'll promise you that he'll to make your way prosperous, to give you good success. He gives you a promise. Don't back off on the promise. Don't try to circumvent the promise and help him out. Don't try to figure out another way around it and then say, well, I'll give God the glory. He doesn't want the glory for our mess. He wants to do it. He wants to show everybody that it's his power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We need to make our decisions and live according to the promises of God. We are not going to see the faithfulness of God personally until we are willing to live out our faith. We may not be actually trusting God until we trust his promises and live according to those promises, even after the circumstances make the promise impossible. That's when we've started to really follow him. You say, well, I've been doing it, but that's not going to happen, so I've stopped. What if Abraham had stopped? Let me give you a point real quick here. Go to chapter 22. Let me see this point. Point number one, blessings come from God. And God owns the blessing. We don't own the blessing. He gives us the blessing, they're borrowed. The blessings come from God, and God owns the blessing. Look at chapter 22, verse 8. Here we go. And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He tried him. He tested him to prove in order to find evidence of a token. He says, I want to see Abraham's faith. Now, God knew Abraham, what he was going to do and so forth, but Abraham needed to see it, and we needed to see it. He's going to show Abraham's faith. Now, watch me. This is the son of a promise that took 100 years to get. And chances are we don't have any more chances after this. So it came to pass that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. He says, look, he didn't hide away from God. He said, here I am. He didn't shy away from God. Here I am. Verse 2, and he said, take now, after all these years, after all these hopes, after all the problems and the things with Ishmael and Hagar and all this, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. By the way, thine only son, laughter. That's what Isaac means, laughter. The joy of your life. A couple have been wanting to have kids all their life. Really? Wow. She couldn't even go home and tell mom. Mom's been dead and gone for so many years. I'm going to take now thy son, thine only laughter. The word son is actually in italics. They put it in there to help you understand who he's talking about. But look at it. You take that out. Thine only laughter, the joy of your life, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. You know what the word Moriah means? To be seen of God or to see God. That mountain, Moriah, is on the same mountain range as Mount Calvary. It's where the threshing floor was that David bought. On that same mount, Christ would die. He says, get thee to the land of Moriah, where God's going to be seen and you're going to be seen of God. Right there, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clay of the wood, and the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God told him. There appears to be very little resistance. Really no discussion. No argument about what God had requested. God told Abram to take the most precious thing in his life, the promise of his legacy, the promise of his posterity, the promise of all that he's been living for all these years. Take that and lose it for God. God had blessed Abraham and Sarah by providing the promise. What they had, the blessing, it had come from God. And now God is asking Abraham to give the promise back. Do you realize that most of the things that we hold on to in this world really are the blessings of God? He gives us the blessing and we refuse to serve him because we want to keep the blessing, rather than keeping our relationship with the blessor. Abraham held nothing back. Look at verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. That word afar off is interesting. It's interesting. It means in the distance. A great while to come. Abraham lifted his up to that Mount Moriah, where we will see God and, God and we will be seen of God. And he saw it, and that word means a great while to come. John 8, 56, Jesus says this, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So, well, that's New Testament. How would he know anything about it? Listen, Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. It was all done. He told Adam and Eve there's going to be a seed that's going to come and crush the serpent's head. Cain and Abel were supposed to sacrifice, which was going to show the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Abraham looked afar off. I think he looked at the mountain afar off, but I think he looked afar off in time. Somehow he saw what's going to happen on this mount down the road. Hebrews 11:13 says, "These all died," speaking of Abraham and some others, "these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." That's what Abraham was. "I don't know what's going on here, God. Why you want my son that we've been waiting for 100 years? But if you want him back, it's okay, because I see something greater coming down the road here. I don't know what it's going to be, but there's something bigger than all of us." We cannot claim obedience if we hold anything back from God that he has requested. Obeying God and sacrificing your treasures to God is something you have to do by yourself. Look at verse 5. "Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." We each must come to God alone. We each must make that sacrifice from our own heart alone. Let me say this. Faith is obedience with no reservations, no reductions. Why didn't most of it? Then we didn't obey. Faith is obedience with no reservations or no reductions. Look at verse 6. "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand in knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, son. And he said, Behold, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abram said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to a place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. This time I want to pick up. Abraham was quick to hear when sacrifice was requested. He was also quick to hear when God delivered. Abraham and Sarah had to learn that the true blessings come from God. The Lord giveth, and the Lord can take away if he so chooses. We need to be willing to go out on the limb where God is, where God may take our blessings away if we truly trust God. Let me say that again. We need to be willing to go out on the limb where God may take our blessings away if we truly trust in God. Let me give you number two. Number one, the blessings are from God and God owns the blessings. Number two, we need to be careful we do not hold on to the blessings of God more than we hold on to God. We need to make sure we don't hold on to the blessings of God more than we hold on to God. We give the blessings back to God. I remember when Sterl was born, our firstborn. We had been married 4.5 years. After we were married 2 years, we decided we were going to have a baby. And nothing happened. And nothing happened. And nothing happened. Finally, she was expecting. She hit that 10-week mark, and we told everybody and rejoiced and told the church, and 2 days later, she lost it. Rip it right out. About 6 months later, we found out she was expecting sterile. 9 months later, we had a baby boy. We didn't know what we were getting back then. And everybody told us it was a girl. They said, heartbeat's a girl. The doctor said, I never knew. It's a girl. It's a girl. Everybody said, it's a girl. It's a girl. They had 15 boys that night or something. They said, it's got to be a girl. You know, just averages. But it was, I remember, and we sat there, and of course, something happened, and she wasn't going to be able to have the baby. So I ended up going for a C-section. I'm sitting there watching them slice my wife open. And they pulled out this kid, and it was a boy. And that, of course, see, I had her all numb from the waist down, but we were there. She was awake. I said, and she said, it's a boy. And I don't know. I don't remember saying it that way, but apparently I did. My son. We took that baby. And I know it sounds like a Lion King moment, but Lion King wasn't even written back then. And so help me, I took our baby boy. While Janet was lying in bed, took him up, and I raised him up, and I said, Lord, he's yours. You gave him to him, to us, and we're going to try to be as responsible as we can. And please give us your wisdom to raise him, but he's not ours, he's yours. And we did that 3 more times. They're not ours. We need to give the blessings back to God because we don't own them. Here's my question. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? Many people worship the blessings rather than the blesser. Let me give you number 3. Faith and faithfulness can be seen. Faith and faithfulness can be seen. Remember, Mount Moriah says, it will be seen of God. We will see what God does, and he will see what we do. Look at verse 12. The angel said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son. That word for now I know, that word know means to know by seeing, to be able to observe and recognize. He says, I see, we can see that you fear God. There's a reverence, but a reverent fear. Reverently afraid of God. When God says this is what we do and we only do part of it, we don't fear him. He says, now I see, I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son to spare, to reserve, withheld, to reserve for oneself. He says, you have not withheld thy son, thine only son. I know what he means to you. You haven't held him back. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abram called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Hey, it's already been seen. Ah, but it shall be seen. There's one coming who's going to do the same thing for me, who is going to come giving everything off holding nothing back. God saw Abraham's faith on that mount. It was seen. James 2:17 says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? In other words, we know who he is by what he did. He wasn't who he was because of what he did, but what he did shows us who he is. What does your work show of you? What do you withhold from him? That reveals the level of our faith in him. He goes on, he says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, complete. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See ye then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only? Look at it this way. You can believe it in your head, but if it doesn't change what you do, it's no good. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified works when she had received the messenger and had sent them out another way? For as the body within the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So, Abraham, watch. God saw Abraham's faith. And because Abraham, faith was seen, we then see God's faithfulness come to fruition. God saw Abraham's faith, so Abraham saw God's faithfulness. Watch. Faithfulness for the moment and faithfulness in the future. That was to come. Many people withhold their faith until they see God's faithfulness. If we want to see God's faithfulness, we must show our faith, live out our faith. If you want salvation for the future, you have to exercise faith now. We didn't see the cross. We didn't see any of that. If we want salvation for the future, we've got to show, we have to put our faith in what the Word of God says. Same thing goes in the blessing between now and when we go to heaven. You want to see God's faithfulness, then let Him see your faith. What are you withholding? Well, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket, because what if God fails? Do that with your salvation. You have nothing. Number four. The greater the surrender, the greater the blessing. You want to see God do something big. And follow Him all the way. The greater the surrender, the greater the blessing. Look at verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Look, if Abraham would not have been willing to put his son on the altar, he would not have been living by faith. And God says, you would have had one son. We would have been done right there. You want to believe me? You want to see the blessings? Then do what I said. Don't hold anything back. Abraham gave away all his dreams so God could give them all back to him and more. I know I shouldn't do this. Personal story. I was 30 years old before I went into seminary to be a pastor. Do you know what my problem was? Biggest problem. Well, the one problem was I wasn't sure God could use me, but, you know, if he can make a donkey talk, he can do something with me. You know. But one of the things I didn't want to do, I didn't want to lose. I'm a family man, Carroll County, Maryland. I grew up there. I love it there. All my family's there. Walsh's don't leave. It's family. And I didn't want to give it up. But I came to a point where I said, I know it sounds weird, but to me it was just almost as real as Abraham. I'm going to give up Carroll County. If God wants me to go someplace, I'll go wherever he wants me to go. And when I left, I figured I would not be back. Because preachers end up who knows where. But you know what? Even up to the very last month or so before we were going to graduate, Dr. Smith was saying, well, I don't have anything here. I'm sorry. That's where it's going to be. You know, and I'm just, this is where it is. I said, well, we didn't make any promises. I don't know where we're going to be. And I started looking elsewhere and this and that and another place. And we got ready to sell the house. And I told Dr. Smith, we're going to sell the house, just so you know. And he said, give me 2 weeks. In less than a week, he called me back and said, by the way, he said, turn around here. We got a place for you. We're going to put you back on staff. You come on back to Westminster when you get out. To me, I had already sacrificed Carroll County, and he gave it back to me. And he taught me a lesson there. But the fact is, there was a time when I no longer wanted to be at Carroll County. I needed to be here. I knew with all my heart, I needed to be here. There's no doubt in my mind. God leads us. Let me give you number five. We're getting late here. Abraham believed God. Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He said, I don't know. You stay here. The boy and I are going to go up and we'll be back. And he had it done. The fire, the knife, he raised it. It was gone. Abraham, lay not thy hand to the son. Because now I see you haven't held anything back. And in blessing, I'll bless you. Because you have not withheld. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. You get it all. And I still believe that Abraham not only saw that moment, but in his mind's eye, somehow, some way, God let him see a cross planted on that hill where God is going to give his only begotten son, the one whom he loves. He's going to leave everything. Hold nothing back so that we could have everything. Abraham believed the promise of God. Abraham believed the promises that when God asked something that seemed to go against the fulfillment of God's promise, Abraham obeyed anyway, trusting that God will somehow still hold to his word. It takes faith in God not to shrink back from God's plan. He calls you to something, and then he makes it look impossible. Take it. Keep moving in that direction. If God said he would do something, then God will do it, even if it looks like he's backing out on the promise.
Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. He said something. He gave his word. He's not backing out on it. The only backing out is on our side. Number six, we may miss being used of God because we are withholding from God. We may miss being used of God. We may miss the blessings of God. We may miss the miraculous of God because we withhold from God. Verse 18, it says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because, I'm back in Genesis 22:18, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now look at it. Look what it says. Thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. If he had not obeyed his voice, I don't know. Is it possible we wouldn't have had salvation, which came by the Jews, which came by Isaac? All the nations shall be blessed because you were willing to not hold anything back. Our obedience can have great ramifications. What if Abraham had not been willing to trust God? Abraham would not have seen the deliverance. Can you imagine going home and telling Sarah that story? Now, I'm almost done here. I've seen parents who idolize their kids. I've seen God take their idols away. Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. My question is, what are you withholding from God? I wonder what blessing or miracle we have missed because we would not trust God to keep his word, and so we withheld ourselves or something or someone that we love. We held him back from God. What are you withholding from God? Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Lord, I pray that you bless us. Speak to each heart. Move with your spirit. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Altar is open. You just come. The altar is open. She'll play as soon as she gets here. What's the Lord asking of you? What's the Lord asking of you? What are we missing simply because we will not surrender? Christ is your Savior. We can get that settled before you leave. Anybody here? Make that step. What is it you need to give up? What is it that's holding you back from really seeing the blessings of God? Thank you.
Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this evening. Thank you so much for that unspeakable gift that you've given us. Help us never to forget. You gave it all. You withheld nothing. Lord, bless us these next few moments, especially these folks who brought their hearts to you here at the altar this evening. Would you do a great thing? Guide them, direct them in these things. Show them what you'd have them do. Lord, give them that courage, that faith to stand for your word, to live according to your promises, and see the great promises, because there's nothing impossible with you. Thank you for what you're doing. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. We're going to take just a couple minutes here and think about what the Lord did. God did not withhold anything from us. Think of all that must have gone through Abraham's mind and his heart throughout this whole event. Well, God gave up his only begotten son, whom he loved. He watched him die for the sins of those that has sinned against him. He watched them scourge him. He watched them plait a crown of thorns and put it on his head and drive him down with a rod. He watched them put the cross on his back, drive him up Mount Calvary. He watched them lay his riddled back on that splintered old piece of wood. And then watched as they nailed him to that cross. He watched as that cross was dropped into the hole and his bones fell out of joint. He watched his son say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He watched his son writhe in pain as he pushed up on the nails in his feet to try to get a breath, rubbing that shredded back against the splintered wood every time. He watched as his son says to a thief, "Verily, verily, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He watched his son as all the sins of all the world were placed on him. He heard his cry as he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He watched as his son gave his last breath, committed, he says, "Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit," and died. He watched as they took him off that old cross, pulled the nails out of his flesh, and slid him in that old cold tomb, left for dead. And he watched as his followers scattered to the wind. So that he could see the greatest blessing, and that was to have you and you and you and you. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Romans 8:31 tells us this: "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son." He didn't hold back his son. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Why are we holding anything back from him? He held nothing back from us. Men, come to the front. This is we have what we call open communion here, and that is, if you know Christ as your Savior, you know for sure if you died to go to heaven, you're welcome to partake with all of us. It will serve all of us at one time, and then we will all partake at the same time. Jesus gave up his glory. Jesus gave up heaven. Jesus gave up his rightful praise.
and gave up his comfort. Jesus yielded his flesh to the soldier's scourge. Jesus gave up his modesty. Jesus yielded his head to the thorns. Jesus yielded his hand and feet to the nails. Jesus gave his blood, and Jesus gave his life. We do this in remembrance of him, gentlemen. Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, held nothing back, took bread. And when he had given thanks, When he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. I've held nothing back. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This is, cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me." Thank you.
Matthew shares the account, and it says, and he took the cup and gave thanks. Hold nothing back. He knew what this meant. He took the cup and gave thanks, and he gave it to them, the ones who were going to scatter. And he said, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit and of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He saw the day. We may give it up all, holding nothing back, but we get it all back in him. Drink ye all of it. Let's stand to our feet. We got to sing Amazing Grace. We always do. Please do. Give us that thing. Amazing Grace, how sweet, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now. Gotta see it far off yet, 10,000 years. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Go live for him. Don't hold anything back. You have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday. God bless.